what the governor is proposing, the level of reserves is admirable. But much of what's being proposed would be in these unrestricted reserves. And by unrestricted, it really means it's discretionary money.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we're joined once again by New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, who's released his summary of Governor Kathy Hochul's first budget proposal. DiNapoli says it carries a significantly improved outlook over last year, but risks related to the pandemic remain. DiNapoli, a fellow Democrat, issued his review of the $216 billion executive budget proposal on Tuesday. He warns the budget proposes billions in spending that would bypass critical oversight if enacted, but also says the state is on solid fiscal footing thanks to unprecedented federal aid and tax collections that are more than $10 billion higher than expected. But DiNapoli says the state should be setting aside more money in reserve funds to prepare for the next inevitable downturn.
Well, I mean, the good news is the very clear message is that because of the higher-than-expected tax revenue, which is a consequence of the economic recovery, as uneven as it is, but it's still been happening at a faster pace than had been first projected. The additional tax revenue that came from some of the changes in the current year budget, some of the tax increases on wealthier New Yorkers, and the big game changer of all the federal money that's come in as part of the American Rescue Plan, this has really elevated the level of the money that the state has. So for the first time in anyone's memory, we're not just talking about this year's budget, but for the next 5 years, even 1 year beyond the financial plan, we're not projecting, and the governor's not projecting any budget gaps. Ian, as you recall, usually we have a state budget. We argue about how to get the budget in balance, and we acknowledge that the next year and 2 years, 3 years after that, there are going to be out-year gaps we have to deal with. This is the first budget where we don't have that. So that's very, very good news. So the risks, though, are, you know, will the economy, in fact, pick up, or will it start to go backwards? Inflation, concerns about where is the pandemic at, you know, so some of those projections may not come to pass. We hope that they do. We know the federal money is not forever, so we have to make sure that we are mindful of the fact that a couple of years from now, we will not have all these federal resources. So in the short run, it's good news. There's a lot of money to spread around on important programs, but we have to plan for the future, and that's why that issue of the reserves that you mentioned becomes so important.
What's your recommendation?
Well, the recommendation has always been for many years for us to do a much more aggressive job of building up our rainy day reserve funds, our reserves. The good news is Governor Hochul has a proposal to do that and puts money behind it. The challenge, though, is that the money that she's putting in and projecting, much of it is slated to go into what are, for lack of a better definition, unrestricted reserves, meaning that, you know, we have reserves that are by statute where there's a very clear process by which the money is put in and limitations on when the money can be used and how it gets drawn down. Those are the kind of reserves that I would argue should be the ones where we should be putting our money. What the governor is proposing, the level of reserves is admirable, but much of what's being proposed would be in these unrestricted reserves. And by unrestricted, it really means it's discretionary money. So it's money that the executive can move as they see fit. And one would hope that that would be money that would not be squandered. But, you know, from my point of view, if you really want to protect the reserves, to really have them be there for that rainy day, and by rainy day, I mean unanticipated, an emergency, a significant economic downturn, those are the reserves you should be building up. So I don't quibble so much with the numbers that the governor's proposing. It's certainly a lot healthier buildup of reserves than we've had in our state for a long time, but they should not be in discretionary funds. They should really be in those statutory, more, if I could use the phrase, a kind of a locked box place to put the reserve
money. Not a bad idea. Speaking for WAMC, I mean, of course. Right.
Oh, you know what? I just got that. The famous WAMC. See, we could say that, thanks to Alan Shartok and team, that concept of lockbox needs to be part of state government, state finance as well.
You know, I mean, we did just have like a 35-minute fun drive, so there is something to what you're saying. It went pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've seen the remarkable confidence that listeners and supporters of AMC have when they know that it's money that's going to be put in there and used for a specific purpose. You know, we also put out, I think you saw our report on the Dedicated Highway and Bridge Trust Fund. And that's another case of what was intended as a lockbox. And what we found is that there have been steps taken to circumvent the original intent. So now it's only about 17 cents of every dollar is going for the pay-as-you-go capital expenses for our roads and bridges. That's not what the intent was. So, you know, what happens too often in New York is that programs are set up with good intention and even with some safeguards, and then the provisions are not withstood. So that's really the concern that we have, you know, for how the reserve should be treated as well.
Okay, let me follow up there then to ask about this issue of oversight and accountability. Your executive budget analysis says that your office would lose some oversight in the executive budget and that state finance law competitive bidding procedures would be eliminated for state contracts. Can you explain your concern?
Yeah, I mean, it's not all state contracts. It's just another subset, particularly with regard to healthcare spending. And Ian, this is an issue we've been talking about for a very long time. And it always happens at budget time where the executive proposes and the legislature, unfortunately, often goes along with circumventing the contract review, the pre-audit authority, the controller's office. And that's where you have fewer eyes looking at making sure money's being spent appropriately. It was an issue with the prior administration. We were able, due to a memorandum of understanding, have some of the authority that was taken away on the big centralized contracts and the SUNY construction contracts, some of that, much of that authority restored. But it's like, you know, the old playbook was brought out in this budget, and now we see another proposal with regard to some of the healthcare spending where our oversight, our review, our pre-audit authority would be put aside. And again, it just makes it, I think, less secure for taxpayers, in fact, that best value is going to be achieved, that there'll be fairness and even playing field. And it's all done under the notion of, well, it's more efficient to do it this way. Well, you know, we turn around contracts, you know, usually less than a week if it's an emergency contract, often within 24 hours. So I think it's a bogus argument that cutting the controller's review out really contributes to efficiency. I think what it adds to is the possibility that the taxpayer dollar will be compromised. So, as we've done in the past, we're suggesting the legislature reject those proposals.
Have you had a chance to make that case to the governor yourself?
We haven't had a personal conversation about it, but this has been standard policy of our office for a long time. And, you know, certainly that's what we're identifying in the report we put out today. You know, look, the challenge, I suspect, is not necessarily the governor herself, but, you know, the budgets are put together by staff in the Division of Budget. It's a lot of the same folks that were writing the same language, budget language in years past. So they kind of recycled some of that language and have it applied to a new area of spending. So I think it's unfortunate. As you know, the legislature has been considering some very significant reforms in procurement to ensure that our oversight will be there. So I'm hoping in the legislative process they will alter that wording in the governor's executive proposal.
You haven't mentioned his name, but you just referred to the last administration. This week, former Governor Cuomo, gave an interview where he talked about being vindicated after the attorney general's investigation into the claims against him. Last week, he had dinner, it was reported, with New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Do you have any thoughts about a potential comeback? Do you expect one? Do you think it's a good idea?
I have no particular insight into what the former governor may be thinking, but if he would ask my recommendation, I would strongly urge him not to seek elective office anytime soon. I think given everything that's gone down, the likelihood that he would be successful in that regard, I think, is quite remote.
Your office also released an update on the Common Retirement Fund for the third quarter. How is the retirement fund doing right now?
Well, despite the volatility of the markets in recent weeks, we've done very well. The numbers that we put out, Ian, have to do with the end of year, December 31st. That's not the end of our fiscal year, so we still have another quarter before we have the final valuation of the fund. But for the three-month period ending December 31st, we had a positive return of 4.7%. So for that quarter, that's a really solid number. Keep in mind, for the entire year, our goal now is a 5.9%. So to get 4.7 just in the one quarter is really good news. We had positive returns the previous two quarters. So we'll look to see how we do between now and March 31st. But, you know, I don't want to jinx it because a lot can happen. But I think we're on track for another year where we will meet and exceed our numbers. So we're now valued at about $279.7 billion. So our fund keeps growing. Keep in mind, at the end of the last fiscal year, we were at about $258 billion. So even though our payouts are increasing in terms of people who are retiring and people living longer, getting pension payouts over a longer period of time, our fund continues to grow. So much of that has to do with the strength of the financial markets. You know, let's hope that the volatility will not put us backward. And I always like to remind people, we're not just invested in the stock market. We have a lot of money in fixed income, which is safe. You're not making a big return there right now, but it's safe. And our alternative investments have been doing pretty well also. So pension fund, good news for your listeners, and there are many that are part of the New York pension system. We will continue to deliver on your retirement security. Nothing to worry about in that regard.
So just lastly, Mr. Sole Trustee, as you look at all of these various metrics in terms of the pension fund, also your analysis of the state budget, is your sense that, you know, as a state, as a country, we're out of the worst of what we've seen during the pandemic and getting back to something approaching what we had before?
You know, I'm optimistic. I don't know that I would go as far as your question implies, certainly for the state. One of our challenges is that we're still lagging the national numbers as far as job recovery. So, keep in mind, New York, particularly downstate New York, was hit so hard, so fast by COVID-19 when it first impacted us. No surprise that it's taking longer for us to get the kind of solid economic footing that we were on pre-pandemic. So we're headed in the right direction. You know, sales tax collections are way up. That's a good sign of economic activity and consumer confidence. But, you know, the last numbers I saw, I think the federal job recovery was like at 87%. The state was only, you know, like 63, 64%. So we're not where we need to be. We're heading in the right direction, but it is a slower growth than we're seeing nationally. So we still have to keep a close eye on the trends, be smart about how we're spending money, certainly at the state level, appreciate the federal money that's really helped not only the state but our local government so much. And we have to continue to support our local businesses and our nonprofits, because many of them are still very challenged by this continued pandemic environment. I hope we're pivoting to the recovery environment, the recovery phase of this. But, you know, I let me just leave it that I'm very cautiously optimistic with the numbers that I'm seeing, but we're not out of the woods yet.
Okay, we'll let you get back to work. New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, thank you so much, as always, for taking the time.
Thanks, Ian.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.